WildTalkRadio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you WrestleTalk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Peter Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chris Vianney, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
I was rowdy before rowdy got cool.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Kenny Omega.
Lead out the
hole. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to prove yourself as long as you have an attitude.
Yeah, baby.
Our producer is an asshole. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network, and we just got done watching SummerSlam. I think some of us are going to have issues with this pay-per-view. Is that right, Mace?
SummerSlam. It's a sham. Fucking rigged, too. Warrior should have won! It's the only guy who didn't do a fucking run-in.
With us tonight, also, we have Spug.
I am the Spug guy, but of course, you already knew that.
And of course, as always, Tim Stein.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. WrestleTalk Radio right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The show that does take your phone calls. As a matter of fact, you can call in any old freaking time you like. All you gotta do is pick up the phone, hit 267-297-1397. We want to hear your opinions on SummerSlam tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Call in. We'll bring you on the air. And yeah, we just saw SummerSlam. I don't know about you guys, but personally, I would not have had Alberto Del Rio do what he did on tonight's show.
Is Vince Russo booking WWE again?
I hope not.
God, I hope not. The only way that that makes sense is if two things happen. If tomorrow night, Del Rio comes out onto Raw and says he hired Kevin Nash to do that, one. And two is if there is a three-way dance at Night of Champions. Because both CM Punk and John Cena have legitimate claims to a rematch.
This is exactly correct. Now, here's the postulation. You're saying Alberto Del Rio paying off Nash. We saw Stephanie. What about if she had a hand in having Nash jackknife powerbomb Punk?
Again, the only way that works is if... somehow Nash was paid off to do it. Like, you know, if
if there was a bunch of botched storylines in the back, and I can't imagine that there were, because we know how well-oiled of a machine the WWE is.
Uh-huh.
But for devil's advocacy's sake, we could say that CM Punk and Nash were going to start up some sort of short program, right?
Okay.
And Punk or Nash comes out to jumpstart it, runs off, and then all of a sudden Del Rio comes out and cashes in his money in the bank. Now you've just fucked it up. Way to go.
Good job. What about the, let's hear from Mace. We haven't heard from him yet.
Warrior should have won.
Where, okay. Damn it.
Okay.
Mace, you know, last week was so much more simpler. Corner clotheslines and roll-ups.
No, hey, we did get a few wins by roll-up tonight.
We got a Divas match win by roll-up. Come on now.
Oh, just Mace and I. Not
as many corner clotheslines.
No, but Mace and I are going to go tit for tat on that one later.
Oh, I was afraid you'd say that because, yeah, never
going
mind.
Going tit for tat in the Diva match. Good job.
Yeah. I knew that Omega would pick up on that.
I'm a clever boy.
You are, yes, you are clever, but we knew that. Oi.
You know, I was planning to drink through this pay-per-view. After that ending, I think I fucking need one.
It wasn't that bad.
I heard you ran out of Coke and didn't want to do the homebrew bourbon straight up.
No, I prefer to keep my liver intact, thanks.
You wishing you had changed your mind now?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. The tricky part about CM Punk is that his character works best when he is a bit of the underdog, where he is chasing it a little bit. Like, he still comes off with a win tonight, even if it is an unfair one, but he still gets to keep that, you know, kind of, you know, the system is against me style that he's been working for the last few weeks.
Well, I will say this, that only where, I mean, Tim mentioned it, now that I think about it, it's not a bad idea. But the only way that you can keep that kind of the world is against me mentality is if Triple H, and not even Steph, but remember, Nash and H are boys. Mm-hmm. Going way back.
Well, you're talking click days. That's like 1990, 1991, 1992.
And if you remember, the WWE has allowed Punk to pull back that curtain to see the Wizard just a little bit.
Yep.
And if you're going to go that route, what is more perfect now than having Nash come in? Because that only makes that better if that's all orchestrated by Triple H. Nash takes out Punk, Del Rio cashes in, but Punk now has a legitimate gripe to get a rematch.
See, that does work. I mean, I can only see, like, because that's what Kevin Nash was originally when he first came into the WWE as Diesel. He was a hired gun. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, isn't it just, like, a little old to have the guy in charge be the big bad guy? Like, shouldn't Triple H being in charge now kind of come with a little bit of a different feel and a little bit of a different story to it?
Yeah, but Omega, why change up something that's been working since 1997?
Because you've been doing it since 1997.
Don't interject logic.
But at the same point, like, going to Triple H being the mastermind behind all this, then we'll be getting another Vince McMahon, it was me, Austin-style fucking storyline. And we all know how great that was the first time around.
I don't necessarily know if it'll go that way. I think what you're going to get is, I mean, everybody's clamoring that this is the new Attitude Era with Punk, that this is the setup. I don't necessarily know if it's the Attitude Era, but CM Punk said something a couple weeks ago on Raw, and he said it on the Bill Simmons podcast. I want to make this shit cool again. Now, I have not heard or seen so much mainstream media coverage over wrestling since, one, Mike Tyson showed up on Raw after Royal Rumble, and two, when WWE bought out WCW. And, of course, the Benoit murders, but still.
You don't really count the Benoit murders and all the rest of this.
Yeah, but. I'm not lumping that in with that, but I'm just saying. I've not seen this much mainstream. I mean, ESPN is now actually publishing their wrestling podcast. To have Punk in the company and doing what he's doing, and you have to have the bad guy type boss, but I think Triple H does a bad guy type boss in a different sense.
Just do me a favor. Oh, we got a phone call. Hey, it's the one and only Jim Molineaux. Jim, how you doing?
Jim Molineaux.
I know, Mosh. I was trying to make you sound important. Sorry, go ahead. How you doing, Mosh?
Ladies and gentlemen, first things first, Kim Stein is the man. And I'm at this part the shortest thing that I'm ever going to make. But yes, live from Los Angeles, exclusively on Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Wow, guys, where to begin? Just leaving the Staples Center from SummerSlam.
How about keeping it short and sweet?
Well, knowing you would probably say keep it simple, stupid. So, guys, fire away, man. Well, I mean, the crowd in L.A., tremendous.
Wait,
what a shock.
You're calling into us. That means you get to talk for 3 or 4 minutes. We get to hang up on you and then rip everything you just said.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to try to stay short, sweet, and to the point and answer questions as professionally as possible, period.
We were debating at some point that some of the crowd noise may have been piped in. Did you notice any of that?
Repeat again, Tim. I didn't hear what you said.
I say we were debating during the pay-per-view that some of the crowd noise and some segments of the pay-per-view tonight may have been piped in. Did you notice any of that?
No, the crowd was hot the whole night. Coming from someone who was literally about 5 rows up in the 100 section, the crowd was hot all night, especially during Punk and Cena, Orton and Christian. I mean, hell, even during the opening match. You know, the WWE wouldn't surprise me if they piped in some noise, but the crowd was buzzing all night. LA had a tremendous vibe tonight.
Okay, well, were you yelling CM Punk, or were you chanting, let's go Cena?
Man, I'm not a Cena fan. You know that. You know me a long time, Tim. It was, Punk, after Orton and Christian put on a match that probably surprised a lot of people, you wouldn't have thought that those two would have put on the match of the night, but what a great way to end their feud. Punk and Cena would have had difficulty, you know, topping what they did last month in Money in the Bank. But I think all in all, a strong way to end the show. But Reader's Digest version, no Cena, only Punk.
Okay. Now, how did go back to the World Championship match? How did that come across live? It was absolutely off the hook on the screen.
No one knew Kevin Nash was here. I mean, you had some guys doing signings at Access, like Edge. You knew there's a possibility of him having some sort of a rolling event, but it sort of looked like a little bit of a schmoz ending with John Cena having his foot on the ropes. You would have thought, because the Raw general manager computer was positioned there, you would have thought restart the match, end it, Cena wins. You wouldn't have thought that you know Punk would have won. Kevin Nash would have come out of nowhere. Del Rio would have cashed in. But a perfect opportunity for the WWE, and I'm sure you'll allude to this, Tim, but tomorrow night on Raw, it's now Mysterio versus Del Rio for the WWE Championship. And let's not forget, 1 month from now, Dan corrected, 2 months from now, the WWE takes TV cameras to Mexico for the first time. And they want it to be one of the biggest TV tapings in their company history, debuting in the new Mexican market with their expanded TV, and what a better poster boy than Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, Mosh, yeah, of course.
Mosh, you missed the entire fucking question. He was asking you about the no-holds-barred match.
I thought we were still talking WWE. You guys have got to realize that I've been on about 16 hours of sleep in the past 4 days.
He said world title.
Christian and Orton, if you're referring to.
Yes, the world title.
Wrestling, yes, wrestling, fighting, brawling,
hardcore wrestling clinic.
So, as you can hear people even hearing what I'm saying. But a little bit of everything. A perfect way to put the period at the end of the sentence of that feud. Some spots that you wouldn't have thought that you would have seen in the match. And both guys were clicking on A-plus cylinders tonight.
Orton hard to fan real bad, too.
All right. So what came across to you as the spot of the night, the moment of the pay-per-view?
Powerbomb. Powerbomb from Kevin Nash and a CM Punk, but all in all, literally from beginning to end, the pay-per-view had a consistent feel, even though Kelly Kelly won, shocking a lot of people in the process. There's still some, you know, room for the storyline to continue there. But there really wasn't that much of a dull moment all night. Maybe you want to factor in CeeLo Green doing his thing. But, you know, got to pay the bills when it comes to marketing. But all in all, that would stand out head and shoulders above the rest. But, you know, the whole card would be a very close second.
Okay. Now, with CeeLo Green coming out and performing his two songs, what was the crowd reaction for that? Because they obviously did what they could to mask it on the pay-per-view. So I'm thinking they weren't all that hot for him.
Crowd was dancing, man. I think that his backup dancers were the children of the Ray Charles Diet Pepsi commercial girls. Those girls had some roll, some soul. They had some rhythm. They had some jiggliness in them, man.
Oh my God, Mosh talking about jiggliness. He's got to be.
Come on, man. I'm in downtown LA. Right, Tim Stein in the world famous Wild Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, in the corner of Figueroa and 9th in beautiful downtown Los Angeles here on Wild Talk Radio. Doesn't get any better.
Okay, let me guess. There's a crowd of people like walking past you while you're talking on the phone, and so you figured you'd suck up, right?
There's six people. There's one, two, three, four, five, six people in front of me. That's it. You gained six new listeners.
Okay.
That's more than that. That's more people around you than WNL gets for their downloads.
Shit.
I will not partake in internet hate, gentlemen. I'm a man of peace and integrity.
There's no hate, but I am curious. You're standing whereabouts exactly, did you say?
Corner of Figueroa and 7th, walking back to the beautiful Sheraton Hotel. While I have the opportunity, I do want to thank the folks at THQ for all your listeners. Tim, you're in for a treat with WWE 12 when it comes out this November.
Hell yeah.
The best game that the WWE and THQ have ever put out, and quite possibly one of the best video games ever. I'm not just saying it. I played the game this weekend for many, 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 many hours. And there's some pretty interesting, aces in the hole that are up the sleeve of the folks at THQ. You guys will find out more about that in November.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm asking where you're standing is I want to know, do you see any trees?
Repeat again, Tim. You said, give me what?
Do you see any trees near you?
There's plenty of trees near me, yes.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Fantastic. Mosh, I'd like to thank you very much for getting the plug right when you called into the show. It's about time.
Tim, it is always a pleasure, and I do want to get yourself and Rock the fine folks at WTR for facilitating our live remote from the Sheraton yesterday. If anyone wants to check it out, subscribe to the official Monday Night Mayhem podcast and iTunes for free. Our Monday Night Mayhem WWE 12 preview special presented in part by you, Tim, the WTR. But I know you guys got a show to do. I know that I want to, I'm actually going to give myself the hook because this is about tonight. This is about you interacting with your fans. Tim, you enjoy the rest of the night. Have a great show, man.
And thanks a lot, Mosh. Make sure no trees fall on you. Hey, everybody, the Big Mosh from Monday Night Mayhem calling in, talking about the pay-per-view. Of course, he was there live, and I don't know. It good for him, I guess.
It's okay. Everybody can wake up now. He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Pee break's over. Guy can't remember one simple line on his Monday night shows, make sure that he remembers to mention the WTR network because of all the shit that we do for him. But he at least gets it right when he calls in.
That's because he's calling in to us, and he knows that if he gets it wrong, we'll lambaste him for it.
Yeah, there you go. So, once again, everybody, the call-in number, 267-297-1397. If you got Skype, hey, you can get in touch with us on your computer. All you got to do is Skype Sir Rockin'. And you'll be good to go. We'll bring you on, and you too can yap about SummerSlam or pretty much just about anything else we wind up talking about tonight.
You know, I do want to bring up that women's match real quick.
Yes, please.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Because
hang on a second. I'll be right back. I got to hit the bathroom.
That's fine. Dude, there's a lot. So much disrespect for that match. And it was a solid match. They did well. Both made the other one look good. I'm not touting, you know, Kelly Kelly is the next Wendy Richter or Moolah or Mae Young or Gail Kim or Trish Stratus. But for Christ's sakes, give the girl a little bit of respect. She's gone from being able to not flash her titties on TV to a simple arm candy to somewhat decent in the ring. I mean, at least give her a little bit of respect.
All right. Well, you know, watching that match tonight, it did come over better than most Diva matches, but I really have to credit Beth Phoenix for carrying that match and carrying Kelly Kelly and making Kelly look as good as she did tonight.
Dude, all right. This is my beef. Everybody's like, oh, they carried Kelly Kelly, or that person carried Kelly Kelly. 3/4 of that match was Kelly Kelly beating up on Beth Phoenix. Yeah, I know. Beth had to sell really well. But there's a lot that Kelly Kelly did on her own in that match that deserves some fucking respect. And the only reason, and I said it Tuesday and I'll say it again, one of the only reasons that people don't respect Kelly Kelly, women in general, is because she's prettier than they are. You got a bunch of fucking trolls hate.
Well, I'm not going
to be fair, Kelly Kelly is prettier than you, Tim.
Well, I'm not hating on Kelly Kelly because she's prettier than me. That's fine. I'm glad she's prettier than me. I wouldn't want to be as pretty as Kelly Kelly because then that would
females.
Be very problematic. And he was talking about other...
I know,
because,
Spug.
You know, Spug has a point. Women, and I'm about to get in so much fucking trouble, but it's personal experience. Women can be extremely catty if they come across, you know, somebody that's very, very pretty and has a great body. And let's face it, Omega, one of the first things you notice about Kelly Kelly is her body ain't too damn half bad.
Oh, it's not half bad. I can't deny that.
Yeah. You Trish Stratus stalker wannabe you.
I mean, she is the stereotypical all-American girl looking, blonde hair, nice rack, nice body. I mean, she looks like she belongs in the Dallas Cowboys cheerleading squad. I'll give you that. But if you look at what she's been able to, what she started in the ring doing over, you know, when she, over a year ago when she actually first started really kind of wrestling and getting into the ring, to now, the progress has been astronomical, and
yeah.
And I think you at least have to give her respect on that level.
I give her credit for being for being willing to go to the lengths that she has. However, I still maintained, okay, sure, yeah, Kelly Kelly had a lot of offense tonight, but it's Beth selling it convincingly enough that helped put that over and make her look as good as she did tonight.
Kelly Kelly had to sell too, boy. She did. Kelly Kelly had to be able to sell too, and she did a good job. Look,
I'm not saying she didn't, but I'm saying that she was made to look, you know, like overall, you know, not just, you know, good to look at and, okay, good job taking a bump. The whole thing, right? And the two of them worked well together. Basically, that's the point. The two of them worked well together to pull the match off. I'm just saying that Beth did, went above and beyond to make sure that Kelly looked good.
Again, no respect for Kelly. That's,
I'm not disrespecting her.
But you are. You're saying, oh, Kelly Kelly did okay, but it was Beth who really made it work. You and I both, you, me, and Mace all know, having been in and around the business, that it's not just one person. Both individuals have to put in the same amount of effort for it to come off. Because if one person isn't pulling their weight, you can tell automatically. And I'm, like I said, I'm not saying that she is the next Moolah or the next Mae Young or the next great thing in women's wrestling. But when I read a comment from Mace that match, you know, destroyed women's wrestling or buried women's wrestling.
Well, I think he might have been referring to the outcome. Were you, Mace?
Pretty much. It's not so much the people in the ring, but the way it was booked. Like, I agree with Spug. You know, Kelly has come away since she first debuted with the company as somebody who was basically hired to take her top off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's not forget how she got her start in the fucking business. But she has gone out of...
They couldn't take her bra off. You remember.
Exactly. Exactly. Biggest cock tease in wrestling. But she has gone out of her way to learn how to wrestle. She has come along, but even then, she's basically at the level that you would have somebody going freshly into FCW, not somebody who should be on the main stage of WWE. But when it came down to that match, and I don't know whether you're looking at it with blinders on or something, Spug, but all I saw was Kelly, 10 ton of offense, Beth Phoenix looking like a fucking roller derby fucking diva instead of her usual outfit. I don't know why they decided to fucking change that up all of a sudden.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't either. Even my wife said something about that, and I just kind of let it slide. I know Kelly had a ton of offense, and that's usually not the way it would go in a particular matchup. Normally, your heel's going to get the majority of the offense, which did take me back a little bit. My whole point was, and your gripes right there are not without foundation, Mason. I do agree with some of them. But my whole point was, is there was all this disrespect and hate going towards Kelly that I couldn't agree with, because she did what she was supposed to do. You know, she went out you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But at the same time, it didn't have to be Kelly in that. It could have been fucking Eve. It could have been one of the Bellas. It could have been fucking Alicia Fox. You know, 95% of that Divas roster could have been in that ring against, you know, let's see, last two wrestlers you have on the fucking roster in Beth Phoenix and Natty, and I'd be saying the exact same fucking thing. It didn't matter who was in the ring at the end of the day. It was how they handled it that pissed me off, because I feel sorry. I've been talking with Tennille, who's on her way to FCW right now, who in her... She's actually come a long way as a wrestler, and I've fucking seen that since day one. I started training with her. And when she's going in the WWE, I'm looking at her going, you're not going to survive FCW. You're not going to make it to the fucking main stage, because you don't have that exact perfect look that they're looking for.
You know,
and that's why I've started tending towards going and watching things like WSU and Shimmer, where they downplay the looks aspect and play up the wrestling. I am a wrestling fan. I don't buy in this sports entertainment bullshit. I want to see wrestling. It's one thing that fucking TNA used to do. Now they've fucked it up. WWE was starting to bring it back. I actually got interested in the Divas division for a fraction of a second when, you know, this whole heel turn by Beth and Natty happened. I'm like, okay, let's see them squash. Oh, wait, now Kelly's just squashed that in, like, what, a week? It's looking fucking up again as usual. And wrestling fanatic, wrestling is not sports entertainment. Sports entertainment is the bullshit we got now. Wrestling, you go watch fucking Ring of Honor or your indie scene.
Oh, you guys.
All right, that's it, everybody. We're taking the first break of the night. That's it. You'll send WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to finish talking about SummerSlam and then move on from there. Right on the other side of this first time out. Don't go anywhere, anybody. Don't forget, phone lines are open, and you are more than welcome to call in. We'll be back right after this.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for pink hands.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint can ducks and any other flying object.
Okay, okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't go in this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest name stopped by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal.
This is Rick, the model Montel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Freeno.
It's me. It's that B-O-double-G.
This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19, you big fat sucker!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that my savior hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has a nightmare.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, everybody, you can call into the show by Skyping Sir Rockin' on Skype, or picking up your telephone and dialing 297-267-1397. Is that it, or is 267-297-1397?
That's the way to do it.
That's the one. 267-297-1397. And speaking of which, we got a caller on the line. Caller, who is this and what the hell do you want?
Hey, Tim, it's Amy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, I have a funny story. I was actually out watching the pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
And come to find out, in the middle, at the beginning of the John Cena, CM Punk match, someone called my friend's house and said that my town was in a state of emergency and they weren't letting anybody back in.
Well, that's an interesting story.
Yeah. How but I made it back
funny?
Home.
That's just tragic.
I know. It was really sad.
A state of an emergency? What for?
We had a lot of rain.
Oh. And what, nobody could find the boats or the life preservers?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Doesn't matter. You were busy watching the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I was going to say, like, if they end up stopping me, I was going to tell them that you had to let me through because I had to come home and listen to the WTR.
Well, it's nice to know that you're so loyal. Thank you very much for that, by the way. It's all right. So talk to us about the pay-per-view.
I liked it until all the drama started about about getting home. That was kind of it was good. I mean, I was kind of impressed. I was kind of confused by the ending, but
oh, what specifically confused you?
Why the heck was Kevin Nash in the ring?
Okay, how big of a surprise and shock was that to you and everybody else watching?
I was shocked because I wasn't expecting. I pretty much had a feeling that that Alberto Del Rio was going to come cash it in, but I never in my wildest dreams expected Nash to come down.
Overall, thoughts and opinions on what you saw tonight?
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit boring at times, but other than that, it was okay.
A little boring? What was boring?
The Kevin Kelly and Beth Phoenix match.
Don't get Spud started. He's human.
Down, Spud. Down.
I can see smoke coming from Ohio as we speak. And it's emanating from Spud's ears.
I was kind of impressed that Beth Phoenix didn't wear her Amazon little headband thingy like she always does.
Yeah, everybody was WTFing over that, I guess. So, what can you do?
And my friend is kind of laughing. She goes, oh, my gosh, Sheamus has man boobs.
Okay. I guess that was...
This is a random stuff that my friend thinks about doing pay-per-views. She's like, oh, my gosh, Sheamus has man boobs.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little random. I mean, is she a regular watcher of WWE and TNA?
Yeah, but, like, she's the one I go to WrestleMania with.
Okay.
I guess she just never noticed it until, like, this pay-per-view. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So, what was your favorite match of the night?
Probably the Christian-Randy Orton match.
Okay, which, ironically enough, we're just about ready to talk about. Well, hey, Amy, thank you very much for calling in.
Uh-huh.
And thanks for being a loyal listener. That's just awesome.
Yeah, apparently Wayne won't stop me from getting home in a state of emergency.
There you go. With the state of emergency, if you miss WrestleTalk Radio, just ask Jersey Girl. Once again, Jersey Girl, thanks very much, and feel free to call in all the time.
Yep.
We'll talk to you again.
Bye.
Bye. There she is, Jersey Girl. Geez, she's been like a dedicated listener since day one practically, hasn't she?
Yeah. At least we can actually tolerate her speaking. I'm like, Miss Destiny.
I was just about to say, at least she's not nasally, but you had to go and, like, you know, shoot the deer with an elephant gun.
We're not. we're just not. You know, we're going right to the heart tonight, I believe.
Well, we're trying to break you out of your I'm just too goddamn polite for my own good mold, Omega.
Oh, me. I'm the problem.
Hi, Tim.
No, you did it wrong. You did it wrong. You gotta talk through your nose.
Hi, Tim!
There you go! There.
I promise I'm gonna listen every week!
Now, the problem is, I don't wanna laugh at that because she actually has a speech impediment, which is like,
I know.
You know, it's like the rest of the world naming the speech impediment, giving it a word that the person who has the impediment can't pronounce. Lisp.
Hey.
Whose bright idea was it to call it a lisp? I mean, give them an affliction and then give them a word for it that they can't even say properly.
Anyway, back to wrestling.
Moving on, let's talk about the World Heavyweight Championship No Holds Barred match. I think that
or
these
not.
Guys...
Or not.
Huh? Or not. Hey, we got a caller. Caller, who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jackie. I'm calling from El Paso.
Hey, El Paso Jackie,
Jackie,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm still coming down from the pay-per-view. I love the way that one ended. For once it wasn't like you couldn't, you would not have called that beforehand. Most pay-per-views, you can call it this and this and this and this. I was totally flabbergasted by the way that it ended.
Well, I think the big surprise, of course, was Nash coming out, but I wasn't shocked that Del Rio cashed in.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the pre-call-in show. You know, how were we going to take Alberto Del Rio and fit him into the picture? Where was he going to fit in? And none of us were really sure how that was going to happen. And I can guarantee you, at the time, none of us were expecting Kevin Nash to show up, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. I'm so happy that Kevin Nash is back.
Well, do you think we're going to see a lot more Kevin Nash on TV now because of his appearance at the pay-per-view, or will this have been a one-off run-in type thing?
No, I think we're definitely going to see more of Kevin Nash. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe X-Pac returns, maybe kind of like the Click coming around and kind of rallying around Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know necessarily about Shawn Michaels. I mean, he seems really happy in his retirement, but I mean, definitely, I'd love to see X-Pac return. If Scott Hall can pick himself up off the floor, it'd be nice for him, you know, to be there. But Kevin Nash, and I know this is a real girly thing to say, and I'll probably be the only person to ever say this on the show, but when Kevin Nash first came out, he was like the first wrestler crush that I ever had when I was like 16 years old. So to be now 30 and to see him still there is great. I'm really, really happy to see him there.
Well, that's a good thing.
I'll say this about Kevin Nash. Dude must own a time machine.
I know.
Or it could be just the fact of the hair coloring itself. Like, we saw him in TNA, and he had, you know, his natural gray hair, and he looked like he was, like, ready to keel over any minute. He dies at Black, returns to WWE, he looks like he's in his 20s again. What the hell?
Yeah.
I want to find out that program. That's awesome.
Really, really good jeans there. And I just wanted to cry when he had that buzz cut gray hair. Oh, that just
that was for the mission movie.
And then people on Twitter were talking about Super Shredder showing up at SummerSlam. I was like, wow, that's old school right there.
Good reference. We like our geek references.
A couple of geeky people on this panel, so yeah.
And I definitely would qualify myself as a geek, wrestling watcher, read comic books, worked as an IT professional. Yeah, I think geek. Something.
Okay, Jackie. Well, let me ask you. Did Stephanie plan this with Nash, or did Alberto Del Rio pay for services?
I would really like for it to have been Stephanie. I have a feeling I'm going to be the only one to feel this, but I feel like there should always be a conniving McMahon presence somewhere. And Stephanie, I don't know, and I certainly hope that we'll see more of Stephanie. I mean, I would love for her to have planned this. I like it to be Stephanie reaching out to Nash on behalf of her husband, then Kevin Nash just playing the same old bodyguard role that he played when we first saw him.
Okay, well, what if it's Triple H who set this whole thing up and then decided to act really confused when it actually went down?
It's not as good as Stephanie playing it, but it's still better, in my opinion, than Kevin Nash playing the hired gun role to Del Rio. I mean, the Shawn Michaels, I mean, that's already happened. I mean, it's worth it to bring Nash on TV. I would just prefer it to be Stephanie or Triple H rather than, you know, Alberto Del Rio paying off Kevin Nash.
Well, yeah, I got to say I'm in the same boat with you. I hope it's Stephanie. That being the case, we'll probably wind up with a little bit more of both Steph and Nash in the coming weeks, probably leading into Night of Champions. Who knows?
Certainly, and having it be Stephanie or Triple H opens the doors again to bringing in Shawn Waltman, to maybe bringing in more of the Click. I know we're bringing in a lot of old school people, and it's certainly up for debate whether or not that's good or bad, but it would at least open up the door to bring back more people that we're all familiar with as opposed to it only being Kevin Nash.
Yeah, but bringing back all of these old timers, quote unquote old timers, isn't that sort of going to make all the TNA fanboys a little bit more pissed off?
Yeah, but see, for myself personally, I'm a WWE loyalist, so I don't really care about TNA fanboys. All I care about is myself and what I see when I watch TV. I honestly have not seen collectively more than 1 minute of TNA in my life. So whatever takes them off is fine by me.
But that idea, Tim, and me as somebody as a former TNA loyalist, not so much nowadays, but yeah. I just see that as a case of the fans turning around and going, when TNA does something, it's stupid, but when the WWE does it, oh my, it's a gift from God himself.
Well, WWE does it right compared to TNA. Let's not get into that debate right now.
Where did I start?
So you didn't start anything. It's Tim opening his mouth without thinking again.
Well, there you go. No, it's me playing devil's advocate. Don't forget, you know, I was originally a TNA fanboy back when they were doing the Wednesday night pay-per-views.
Well, that's when they were good. I mean, you have perfect right to be then.
Yeah, you see, it was worth watching then, and then they got the TV deal, it was still okay, and then it started, like...
Yeah, well, because... Yeah, it's kind of like the snowball effect, except, you know, they're just picking up shit as they roll downhill. Yeah. I used to be, like, the only pay-per-views I've actually been able to ever go watch, because they're all too far away from here, were the TNA ones, because I was actually in Nashville for a few weeks, and I got, you know, I got to go see TNA live, and that was in the weekly pay-per-view days, and that used to be like a little bit of pride for me that I, you know, I paid to go see TNA. I don't really say that anymore.
Yeah, well, you see, you know, that's the thing. We never paid for it. We just went to Bottoms Up Sports Pub and hung out with Mark Shark Carlo and watched it there.
Well, as someone who is totally from the outside looking in on TNA, I mean, they seem to be having some problems. Like, I heard they paid a wrestler in a check, and the check bounced, and, you know, Mick Foley was totally talking shit about them. I think it was right before they let him out of his contract. He was still under contract, and he was talking about something or somebody having less attendance than a TNA house show. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, TNA's being run like WCW, only worse. That being said, let's talk about SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're here to talk about SummerSlam.
Here we go. That's the call starting it back on track. favorite match of the night?
You know, favorite match of the night. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go with probably, I hate to be cliche, the main event. It was just great. It was really, really great. I really liked the Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett match more than I thought I would, but the main event, it was just really awesome. As much crap as John Cena gets, you know, a lot of the people who legitimately carry the company, people like, you know, Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho and even more recently Ezekiel Jackson, I've seen them come out and defend Cena, you know, for being a good worker despite all the crap that he takes. So I try to keep that in mind, and I thought he did real well. I thought he and CM Punk measured up real well tonight. And I, again, thrilled by the ending.
Well, yeah, you know, that just goes back to what I have said for a long time. John Cena is the new millennium version of Hulk Hogan. Very limited moveset, charisma like crazy, very polarizing. You either love him or you hate him. And he can actually look good in the ring when he's put up against somebody like CM Punk who can make him look like $500,000.
Right, right.
I won't say $1 million, but...
And it seems like it's really unfair, in my opinion, the kind of crap that he takes, because a lot of the crap that Cena takes, it's because people are tired of PG, and certainly that's my opinion, and certainly that's not John Cena's decision. You know, so I just have a ton of sympathy. John Cena is certainly not one of my favorites, but I just have a lot of sympathy for him, and I was very impressed what he pulled off against CM Punk tonight.
Yeah, it was a really good match. Anybody else got anything for Jackie?
See, you're able to call in and we weren't mean to you.
I was wondering.
No,
that was gonna...
thank you. And I hope I sound better tonight than I did the last time I called in. I was on my cell phone.
Yeah, no, you sound fine. You sound absolutely fantastic.
All right, good.
Great.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Jackie. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you ramble.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I meant that sincerely.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Tim. And it's nice to meet you. This is our first time actually talking.
Yeah, it is. I corresponded with you in a chat room once or twice, so I'm glad that we actually had a chance to converse. That was very nice. Very good.
Indeed.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, no, I'm scared now. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I got it.
No, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Does this sound like us hanging up on you?
Not funny. All blind, but it still never gets
old. No, that's
old. Blind, but it never gets old. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the meanest anybody's ever going to be to Jackie, because let's face it, she's not the moron.
Well, it's true. Oh, Spug and I have been pretty mean to her on occasions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you guys being mean is just standard for the course. I mean, you got two levels of mean. You've got, oh, we're only treating you like this because we like you. And then, oh, you said your name was Maverick?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So you know what I'm saying? So there it is. Omega, why don't we start talking about the World Heavyweight Championship match here?
I want to talk about something, goddammit.
Well, I've been trying.
It shocks me. It shocks me that we're... How many times have we complained about storylines that have just gone too long? We've seen it all too much. You know, when Edge and Cena had, what, 5 or 6 months of going back and forth, feuding for the belt over and over, and it just got so boring, tiring. But Christian and Orton have been going for a long time now. So to see them go out, main event of pay-per-view, or semi-main event of pay-per-view, and still put on incredible matches and do shit we've never seen out of them, is a testament to both of them. I mean, that match was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Extremely off the hook. I thought they both did an absolutely incredible job. Randy Orton getting opened up the hard way at one point. I kind of missed how that happened. Did you see?
Twice.
Yeah, once he got his mouth busted open. I didn't see where his thumb got cut, though. Unless that was when the kendo stick broke.
I think his thumb got fucked up on the stair spot.
Mm.
The RKO on the stair?
No, it was red as hell before that, because he was wiping it on his... Yeah, because he was rubbing the blood down his face before he was going for that spot.
Hmm.
Maybe, you know what? Honestly, the Spanish announce table.
Yeah, the RKO onto that
table,
one.
Yeah, the
we
table.
Want Hugo. We want Hugo. We want Hugo.
To be
we want
fair.
Hugo.
To be fair, Orton has not had a lot of luck with those Spanish announcer tables lately.
You know, I was just about to mention that, Omega. The Spanish announce table, definitely not Randy Orton's friend. He almost broke his leg off in half the last pay-per-view, or two pay-per-views ago.
You know, it was last pay-per-view.
Okay.
I gotta say, you want to talk about breaking tables? Randy Orton broke that one table the hard way.
Ooh. Yeah, that was a nasty crack.
I'm wondering if he meant to set that up, that table up for that spot, and just forgot to do it. You know? It happens. It happens in the ring.
Yeah, you know very well that landing on a folded-up table hurts about 10 times more than landing on one that's been set up.
Right, I'm legitimately wondering if he was supposed to set that up and forgot.
Definitely something I don't think we'll ever find out, unless he decides to walk away from WWE and we can get him on the show and interview. We got to make a note to make sure we ask that question. Hey, Randy,
yeah,
did you forget to set the table up in that one spot there at SummerSlam or what?
it's funny. That match, everybody's like, oh, that was hardcore. That match was fantastic. It was really good. There was some blood in it the hard way.
Yeah.
But I think you could have done that match better. I really do. I think that match could have been just a tad bit better.
So it's the Randy Orton Christian match?
No, it was really good. I mean, it was an A-plus match. Solid, great ending, you know. You kept the fans on the edge of the seat the entire time. The psychology was fantastic.
Could it have been just a touch better?
The way that you could have done that a touch better is if you look at that final spot, the RKO onto the stairs.
Watching Christian fold right up like a cheap accordion right afterwards.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You could have... sold that spot just a little bit more. Because it was Christian climbed up on the top turnbuckle and then jumped. You know, there were, he didn't sell it. He wasn't up there kind of showboating like he was going to end Randy Orton right there. Like it was over. He just climbed up there and then jumped and it was done. That's the only little bitch that I have. Because if you're going to do a big move like that, sell it a little bit more.
Omega?
You know, that is the only fault I have when they set up for one of the flying RKO spots like that. Is it is always a little bit contrived because the guy going off the ropes doesn't really look like he's about to do anything.
Thing. Right.
That said, there was a vicious spot.
No. I will agree. It was an absolute vicious spot. My point was is that you have to, I mean, you have to sell that, you know?
Right. You have to put some kind of story to it. You can't just, you know, jump off the ropes and, you know, it obviously looks like you're walking right into a move. It has to look like something got countered.
Mace?
Explosions! More explosions!
That's the only thing that would have made it better.
I think he was watching Transformers at the time.
There you go. Okay. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. That just seems like a minor nitpick to me. Not shooting down what you're saying. It's just with everything else that happened in that match, which lasted a good, what, 35, 40 minutes, it felt like.
It was right around the 30-minute mark.
Yeah. With everything else that went on and everything that they did and all the spots they pulled off, that just seems like a really, really tiny thing to nag on.
No, I'm not nagging on it. I'm not nagging. I'm just, my point was, is that if you want to make that particular spot just a little bit more believable, then you need to sell it. You need to sell it more. And I'm not talking Christian when he hit the stairs folding up like a cheap accordion. I mean, he's climbing up there, and if memory serves, Orton was kind of prone on the mat. You know, if you're climbing up there onto that top turnbuckle to do something, then you need to sell it. You need to get make the crowd believe that you are about to end him.
Okay.
And he didn't do that. He climbed up and then just kind of limped off and got dropped onto the stairs. That's my only bitch. That's
okay.
my only bitch. And it's the same bitch that I have when they do that spot in a steel cage, or they do that spot in an elimination chamber, or they do that spot, you know, off the Titantron. That's my same bitch. It's every time that Orton pulls out that spot, it's like Omega said, it's contrived because they're not, when they jump, they're just kind of limp fishing it and jumping off.
Okay. Well, legitimate beef on your part. It's, you know, and I'm not shooting down what you're saying at all. I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to trivialize it or anything else, anything like that, but. All good.
Speaking of things that needed improvement, the Daniel Bryan Wade Barrett match sort of could have gone for longer.
Yeah.
Those guys seemed like they were just getting out of the starting gates.
I would make that argument of any Daniel Bryan match.
Well, yeah, but I understand and I agree completely what you're saying, Mace. They basically just warmed up the engines and they were about to hit full throttle when they got called for the 1-2-3. I don't have any problems with how the match ended. I don't have problems with Daniel Bryan losing. It sets up a great potential program coming up to lead into Night of Champions. If you guys can read my mind and see where I follow my train of thought.
We can't. Your brain thinks in Canadian.
Put up the money in the bank case.
No.
No.
No. Oh, I hate when they do that. It is not a championship. It's a contract signed to one person.
Yeah.
A contract can be ripped up, disposed of. You can trade it. Okay, fine. But to put it up as the championship? Because you know that would get more attention than the U.S. title, where it was Dolph Ziggler tonight. That would get more attention than the Intercontinental Championship, you know, no Cody Rhodes tonight.
Hmm.
But that shit would be on pay-per-view. You know, you put that up, that, you know, they were doing that with, I remember RVD had that as something he was, as when he was Money in the Bank champion. They do that a lot with the Money in the Bank. And it always takes more attention away from the things that should be defended like that, that should have legitimate gripes over. It just turns everything into a secondary title.
Okay.
Hmm.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, no. No, Trey.
Don't.
I'm stepping back.
Continuing on with talk.
Hiding behind the rock.
There you go.
Oh.
Spug, shut up.
Continuing on.
I'm reading something else that I'm laughing at.
Okay, continuing
Stamped
on.
Stamped in motivational posters again.
No, an article about a CM Punk interview.
An article about a CM Punk interview.
He said some pretty funny things about The Rock. But I'm also laughing about what Sir Rockin just posted.
Okay. Now, let's take a look at Sheamus versus Mark Henry. There's one comment you made, Mace, at the end of that match. Neither one of them were made to look weak with the finish.
I made a comment during that match?
I think it was you.
I don't remember making any comments during that match. I can barely remember that match at all.
Okay. Well, it was somebody in the chat. It
wasn't me.
Must be in your imagination.
No, I'm...
Are you talking to Little Jimmy and Little Jenny again?
No, I'm not talking to Little Jimmy.
We saw Little Jimmy tonight.
Little Jimmy Hart.
God, that was a stretch for a Little Jimmy jerk.
That was a hell of a setup for a tiny little payoff.
Right. You'd know a lot about that, huh, Tim?
I'll make it, you're fired. Getting back to the pay-per-view, let's talk about Sheamus versus Mark Henry. It was a good match. These two guys did a pretty good job.
It's a way to end the match and make them both look strong.
You know, now the question is, how much more of these two do we have coming up in the near future?
It depends. How long until part of Mark Henry's skin color rubs off on Sheamus?
Oh, hell, that could be a long time. What did Sheamus call himself?
He called himself the Great White, I believe, in a promo somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Great White in the pay-per-view promo. He called himself a Great White.
Well, next time he can call himself Moby Dick.
There you go. You know, the Great White Whale.
Yeah, if he's going to name himself after a shark, then the final match of this series has to be a pie-eating contest.
Oh, Mark Henry, hands down.
Very true, very true. And then just to add in, like, to keep going with the fish thing, they can bring in Shark Boy. Shark Boy versus the Great White.
Oh, Shell, yeah.
Oh, Shell, yeah.
They could be his sidekick.
Oh, yeah.
Great White and Shark Boy.
Yeah, I don't know, jeez.
And they're still cooler than Aquaman.
How come Aquaman never gets any respect, especially from you guys?
When he deserves some, he'll get some.
Because his ability is he talks to fish.
Well, wait a minute. I've never read the Aquaman comic book. That's all he does is talk to fish?
Well, yeah, he gets the typical, you know, like enhanced strength and senses and all that, you know, but, you know, he can breathe underwater, he can talk to fish, and every now and then they'll give him something to make him seem a little, you know, not useless, but it never works.
Oh, brother.
Quail Man!
Oh, God.
So, yeah, conversations that come out of left field. That leads into a six-man match.
By the way, I still want to do naughty, naughty things to Janet Pym.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
She's a comic book character.
Just saying.
And she's married, and currently she's dead. So you would do horrible, horrible things to her.
Well, Triple H did horrible, horrible things to Katie Vick, so it would make
sense. Let's not bring that up.
Too soon, Krillin. Too soon.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
What is wrong with us?
I've been wondering that for a long time.
It's that kind of night, folks. That kind of night.
It's one of these nights where we're actually having fun, goddammit.
There you go. Who paid attention to the opening match of the night?
That's not right. Me!
Miz comes on out as the first WWE performer to make an appearance at SummerSlam, and Cole all of a sudden prematurely ejaculates all over his trousers inside.
Just like Spug during the main event.
No, only slight orgasm during the main event.
Yeah, he did say it was only a slight one. It wasn't like full out or anything like that. But Miz yapping on the mic, you know, here comes R-Truth looking for conspiracies, I guess. And, yeah, don't what me! That phrase, or that single word, is never, ever going to go away.
Damn ever. It, Austin.
What?
Fuck you, too.
What?
Go blow a horse.
What?
Right.
Exactly. So
he's gonna keep wadding me. I'm gonna give him the one thing he hates, which is dead fucking air on his show.
There you go. Coming out next, Kofi Kingston, followed by John Morrison and Rey Mysterio. Six-man tag team action about to get underway. The announcer's putting over Mysterio's match on Raw. Tomorrow night. I didn't really get a chance to catch the, much of the first match at all, so. Was it any good?
What?
I hate you too.
We lost it, Spug.
Yeah, we lost Spug for the moment, apparently.
Wow, well, maybe we'll get him back. Who knows? So overall...
Weird thing I thought about the opening match was it was pretty much everyone from Raw that you wonder where they should be right now, from mid-card to top-card. Because, what is it? Yeah, you had R-Truth, you had The Miz, you had... Kofi, Ray, it was Morrison. Who was the last one in that match?
El Pato del Rio!
It's everyone in there that they're either mid-card or top-card, and all of them I would dispute where exactly they should be in that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the entirety of the mid-high roster on Raw in one match.
Just to make sure everybody gets a chance to get on pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where it should be as a test of, okay, who is going to go next? Who is it out of this group that's, going to go on and actually do things, in the company, for the next couple of years? And now they just gave it to Mysterio, who sells a lot of masks. So he gets to be.
You made a lot of money with your merchandise, so we'll elevate you just a little bit for a little while. There you go. Yeah, so final overall thoughts on SummerSlam, everybody?
See, do I give out the A or not? I would probably say an A-.
Okay.
Like the six-man tag could have been better. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett definitely need at least another 5 minutes on their match. Other than that, it was a really solid card. I mean, I dock it down to an A for that, and I dock it down to an A- for what seemed to be a TNA style shock ending.
Okay. Fair enough. Mace.
I'm pretty much agreeing with Omega here. It's going to be an A- from me for the same reasons. Very TNA style booking. Great matches, fucked up finishes. Especially when it comes down to the women's match, which I will still say buries women's wrestling in the WWE, at least, to amend my comment from earlier.
Okay.
There you go. And the schmozzle that was the ending to the main event. Mind you, I would be willing to push it up to a solid A, depending on how they decide to play it tomorrow night on Raw.
Okay, then.
See, I would have given the Divas match a little bit more credit than that. I mean, it's it's Beth Phoenix versus Kelly Kelly. Kelly's going to have some sneaky, quick way of stealing a win in order to actually come out of that match at all. Because it logically should either be a squash or Kelly has, or Kelly, you know, a squash for Beth, or Kelly has to sneak a win out.
Yeah, but she didn't just sneak a win out. It was pretty much almost squashing Beth. That's where I had the problem with it. You know, they elevated Kelly Kelly due to, well, by killing off a great new gimmick that could have carried the Divas as a bit of interest for the next couple of months. But now you've just had the main person who started this whole I'm going to get rid of the Barbie dolls campaign, you know, get beaten down by Kelly Kelly in that type of fashion on pay-per-view. It sort of kills the gimmick straight out. I don't see them saving face on this without having to pull some sort of bullshit out of their asses.
Well, I don't know that it kills the gimmick.
Fucking off.
Yeah, I don't think that it kills the gimmick straight up because if it was just Beth Phoenix who declared that and she decreed war on the Divas division, yeah, okay, they fucked it up. But it was both Beth and Natty. Arguably the two biggest powerhouses in the Divas division in WWE.
Now here's how it will go. Next month, you'll have Natty versus Kelly Kelly. Kelly Kelly will get the win, and that'll completely destroy the storyline. It'll kill it dead.
If that happens, I will agree with you. But I'm going to reserve judgment until that happens.
Now, what if they find a way of actually dragging this out until Karma comes back?
That's quite a while. They still have at least a minimum of 9 months more to go.
It's the Divas division. How much do they really progress in a year's time?
Good point. Shut the fuck up with your logic. Let's go.
And to add on to the Divas point real quick, next month they're in Buffalo. Put Beth Phoenix over in her hometown. Would they ever do such a thing?
Put anybody over in their hometown. Yeah. They never do that. It's a guaranteed squash. Why do you think Mysterio is going to lose tomorrow night?
Oh, I know. Just add one other thing. Over the Limit, Extreme Rules, Capital Punishment. At the end of those shows, there was nothing really to talk about. Money in the Bank, and tonight, they gave us something to talk about.
So months in a row, we've actually been excited how a pay-per-view has ended.
That makes for a good pay-per-view, don't you think?
Makes for good radio, too. That being said, let's get a break.
I think that's a good
exactly.
idea.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that leaves you talking, they did something to get your interest. And I'm interested to see what the ratings are going to be for tomorrow night's Raw. Hey, everybody, you're listening to WTR Saturday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the other side of this with Wrestling News. We'll be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Let's do this. Producer of the show.
Shut up.
For the trunk, Rob Parks. For the
why
does Rob Parks still do it? We waited forever to Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob. Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow.
insult myself real bad.
Wow. Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Sam Pete Peter Wilson.
You listen to the WTR Sunday night?
Yeah, baby.
Welcome back, WTR. So tonight, Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I switched up my poisons. I'm actually trying a Smirnoff Ice instead of my usual.
Good on you, Ric Flair.
Woo! Woo!
Was it on sale, Tim?
Actually, no. don't be a Jew, Rock. Jesus.
Oh, is someone talking about being a Jew?
Well, the Jew is the one yapping at me, so shut up. I'm just cheap. There's a difference, motherfucker.
You're just cheap, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I just, I put Jews to shame. I'm so damn cheap. Anyway, some people are thrifty, some are frugal, and then you get the Jewish people, and then after that, it's me.
Religiously cheap.
There you go. It's almost a religion. I'd like to say thank you very much to Todd Davidson and everybody at TCW for the wrestling show here in Calgary last night. It was a lot of fun. The main event was a ladder match. It saw Ram Dante defending his TCW heavyweight title against Kato. And Kato winds up winning the TCW Heavyweight Championship in a very, very, very good, very solid ladder match last night. The entire card was really good. I had a great time. I was allowed to take my video camera and video it, and I have permission to post the video. So coming up in the next few days, once everything's all edited and taken care of, you guys are going to get a treat and a little bit of a taste of some local Calgary independent wrestling, and I'm pretty sure that you'll find it pretty entertaining. So you've got that to look forward to. That being said, plug out of the way. Thanks once again, guys. Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net is apparently reporting there's a big argument between Hulk Hogan and Vince Russo at last Sunday's Hardcore Justice regarding the finish of Angle versus Sting. Hogan was heard telling people Russo doesn't know what he's doing. Hello, pot. This is the kettle. I think you're black. But apparently they were still
Hello,
going
Tim,
over.
Hello, Tim. This is comedy. You're not funny.
Yeah, well, that wasn't
not,
comedy.
I'm not black. I'm cast iron American.
Yeah, there you go. Cast iron American. There you go. That wasn't comedy. That's just the hard, cold truth. You know, Hogan being a wrestler figures he knows booking. And Russo, having been a writer for as long as he has, thinks he knows what he's doing too. But apparently they're still going over the finish as the pay-per-view was continuing on. They reportedly made up in the next day's TV tapings, but there's still some noticeable tension between the two of them for 3 days of tapings.
So does this mean Hogan's taking down Russo's curtains and putting up the ones he wanted to begin with?
Well, it quite possibly could mean a different color of a bath mat. Who knows? But is this just yet another hole in the ship that is TNA?
No, this is wrestling. Well, sports entertainment.
Oh, do not.
No. Hear me out before you start criticizing me, Spug Jr.
I'm not.
Spug Jr.
Just hear me out.
I was just going to call you on using TNA's catch line.
Well, just hear me out before we start doing this. Name a wrestling show that has everything put together, has everything planned out, like way before the show happens, and it actually sticks to that one layout, script, whatever. There's reports coming out that the SummerSlam booking sheet was still in a mess until 10 minutes before the show. Independents, most of them, don't even have a run sheet going until the show's already started. This is a part of the business. You know, not everybody's going to have the plan going 100% of the time. No. It just so happens that because it is Hogan and Russo, people are going, oh my god, it's disaster, it's the end of TNA, it's Vince Russo being Vince Russo, rah, rah, rah. It's part of the business. Who gives a shit? Move on.
Yeah, hot shotting happens a lot more frequently than it's reported or even realized.
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently the wrestlers are also having problems with Eric Bischoff. He comes across as arrogant and apparently critiques the in-ring work of the wrestlers. Criticisms are ignored largely due to the wrestlers not respecting Bischoff or his attitude. The X Division Gauntlet match, taped on Tuesday, was redone Wednesday due to Bischoff not being happy with it. And all this tension has made the locker room morale even lower than it has been. Again, is this another hole in TNA's boat?
I don't think it's the hole in the boat. I think it's the entire bow missing.
A hole in Bischoff's head, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's Bischoff, Bischoff, Russo, and Hogan. It's the trifecta from hell.
The trio of evil.
Well.
But tell me, who here likes their boss? Who here doesn't believe that their boss is an arrogant blowhard?
Well, I've never met my boss. I don't have a problem with him.
Notice how I'm silent during this segment.
you get the point, though.
Well, that's why Austin was so popular. He was anti-boss.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the whole thing about it, you know, like, people are gonna try to compare WWE and TNA, and it's inevitable they're gonna try. With WWE, you've got one person that bottom lines everything no matter what. It goes through Vince or it doesn't go. TNA reminds me, you know, all of these stories I hear anyway, reminds me of all the stories I heard about WCW. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many people thinking they're top dog and what I say goes and that's it. And then you walk around the corner and you get the same shit from another person.
Again, just like any business on the planet.
You
have
big
boss, you have middle bosses, you have lower bosses, then you have the workers.
It's what you get when you put someone like Dixie Carter, who knows nothing of the wrestling business, in charge of a wrestling business. They end up going toward the people who made it successful at one time. At one time, they were making money off of this. Except there's a reason they are no longer doing it, and they don't really see past that.
Then you could sort of say the same about the WWE, considering that most of their writers don't know jack shit about wrestling.
Pretty much. When you saw the press or the report where CM Punk had absolutely no buffers, they were giving him the rundown and telling him to go off, do whatever you want. Is any wonder why CM Punk is the hottest thing in wrestling and making the business cool again? Because he's a wrestler actually doing his own promos, and he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Agreed.
He's capable of delivering his own promos in an exceedingly dangerously deadly convincing way, like it is a shoot, even if it is a worked shoot.
I would shake your hand, but I know where it's been.
There you go. That was a good line. That really was.
Yeah.
Line of the friggin' night.
There you go. Moving on to the next topic. Gail Kim providing update on her WWE status via her Twitter account for everyone asking once again. I'm still on mini vacay, meaning I don't work for the, I won't acknowledge there's any competition, that company, but have some upcoming appearances and have a few projects on the table. So like I said before, this won't be the last you see of me. Just be patient. You'll be seeing a lot of me in this next coming year. Well, that's all wonderful. I have a question here. I've got people on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, just on blogs or in forums defending Gail Kim and getting all bitchy about WWE. WWE won't let her out of her contract. I'm going to look at this from look at all the sports teams and all these players who have contracts, and they either want to be traded or released or given more money. And if this doesn't happen, then they're not going to show up, and then next thing you know, they get suspended without pay. They've got a contract. The contract states this is it. You may renegotiate at this time. And here they're jumping the gun. Gail Kim walked out in the middle of a Diva Battle Royal, and nobody like paid attention or anything like that. She said, yeah, I quit, so I'm going to move on and do other things. WWE says, no, you're not. You're under contract with us, and we're not going to let it go. You fucked us over. Forget it. We're holding you to it. Who's right, who's wrong?
The unfortunate thing is that Gail is not handling the situation right, but at the same time, she has made a lot of the good points. She did walk out essentially on the Divas Battle Royal, and nobody noticed whatsoever. No one called her on it. No one mentioned it. It proved her point dead on that no one was paying attention to a damn thing in the Divas match. No one backstage gave, you know, a rat's ass about it. And, you know, it does prove that she said also on her Twitter account that, you know, she wasn't good enough to pay attention to before, and now, you know, suddenly they don't want her leaving or going anywhere. Yes, it's vindictive on the WWE's part, but it's also preventing her from going to competition.
Yeah, well,
so there is a double standard that you're valuable enough to not let out of the contract, but you are not valuable enough to actually do anything with.
Yeah, there is vindictiveness. Wrestling fanatic, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm not going to agree with you on that. It's not their ego so much as Gail Kim should have gone and talked to somebody instead of pulling this. I'm sorry, this is a real snobby attitude type thing to do. You're under a contract. You sit down and you talk with somebody about why you're not happy, what you want to do with it. Can you please let me out of the contract? Now, she goes on to say, it's great everyone is hopeful, but I'm non-officially done. I'm ready to make things happen for myself instead of leaving it in someone else's hands, especially into the hands of a person who didn't believe in me. Why should I waste more of my time when I believe in myself? I'm ready to accomplish things for myself and not for a boss I have no respect for. Okay, fine. Don't respect your boss. Most people don't. We just talked about that before this. However, you don't go and jerk around like that, because all it's going to do, and what's being proven to us right now, all it's going to do is screw you over. You don't do something like that without talking to somebody. Nothing extreme. What's the horrible thing that happened? Well, she wasn't paid attention to, and the Divas division isn't where she probably thinks it should be either. Okay, fine. Well, you know, welcome to professional wrestling. That shit happens. Again, you go and you talk to somebody. Ask for your release. Tell them that you're done. You've had it. You're not going to wrestle for them anymore. Who knows? Maybe you'll get the release if you had done it properly. Possibly. Maybe.
But how do we know that she didn't already go and ask for a release before she did what she did in the Divas Battle Royal?
If she had done that because of everything else she has posted on her Twitter and everything else in the news and all this other stuff that's readable, don't you think she might have said something about that? I'll tell you right now, I sure would have. Hey, you know, I talked to them. They said, fuck you, you're stuck. Then I walked out.
If you did that, then you'd be in breach of contract.
So, you know, she's in breach of contract now for walking out.
Which is why they're not letting her go.
Right. So, sure, WWE comes across looking like the bad guy here, but I have to side with them. I'm sorry. Omega.
Omega has no idea.
No, I've got plenty of idea.
Well, I'm waiting to hear from you.
No. I am with you on this one, Tim. It is unfortunate that Gail Kim is trying to prove a point, and she has done that. However, it isn't the right way. And more than that, she's asking for respect and professionalism, which she isn't going to get by breaching her own contract and no showing completely. I mean, you're contracted with the WWE for a certain length of time. You see that length of time out, then you have your way with it. Now, if there's a couple years left, I could understand that. You know, her getting sick and trying to go home early. But do we even know how long? We don't even know how long she's contracted for, do we?
I believe it was a 3-year contract she signed in 2008. So I think her time is.
So this is the final year.
What the hell is the point? There's a 3-year contract. I mean, there isn't, you know, we're halfway through the year already. She wouldn't have been around much longer.
Yeah, you've already done 2.5 years. You know, do the other 6 months or 4 months or 2 months or however long. You know, fine. Half-ass your way through it. Just go through the motions. Don't be super spectacular or anything like that. Your contract's up. Then what?
She signed a contract late 2008, so she's, you know, right there at that point.
Well, she has no reason to do what she's doing then. If she wanted out, wait. Because, you know, who's going to, you know, would TNA even take her back if she knew the second they don't use her, she's just going to walk off?
Well, I'll tell you, if I'm WWE, I'm not taking her back anytime soon.
Oh, no. She's burned that bridge.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm holding her to her contract until it expires, and then, you know, whatever. We'll talk to you in 3 years. But forget it. I don't care. And just to address Wrestling Fanatic in the chat room. Yeah, Wrestling Fanatic, basically it boils down to making a point. You hear her talking about wanting to be treated with respect and have professional treatment. Well, then, you know, like, give what you want to get. Okay, if you want respect, you show respect. If you want professionalism, you then act professionally. You don't walk out to prove a point. That's you know, that's pretty much what I said, what my stance is.
Anyway, you know what? We've got 20 minutes. Can we have a roundtable?
We're just about to get to that because it is time for the WTR roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
I still think that should be an extra 15 seconds longer.
I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, I know you are. You're probably embarrassed every time you hear it now.
Dude.
You obviously haven't seen what he does to himself in his videos.
Yeah, I have no dignity left.
Which you can find at youtube.com/TJOmega.
Yeah.
You see how we set up the plug, right? Okay, there you go. All right, WTR Roundtable. What are some changes you would make to the current wrestling product in both WWE and TNA to get the casual fan more interested in the wrestling product to the point where they become more of a hardcore fan?
WWE Monday Night Punk.
The CM Punk Variety Hour.
I don't think I want to see him singing and dancing with Cher.
No, unfortunately, he'd be singing and dancing with Colt Cabana, which would be really, really scary.
That would be even worse, I'm sure.
But in all honesty, they're doing... Well, WWE, up until like when you get to the point where we are now, they've been doing quite well of getting the casual fan into the business. You know, they've had Sheamus on Conan the other day where he kicked the crap out of a mannequin for no reason. And, you know, the guys are getting out there, which is good. You know, we're starting to get to the point where wrestlers are starting to get out into the mainstream media, and that's how you're going to pick up the casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the casual fans who've turned off it might end up watching these type of programs like, you know, the late night talk shows, or, you know, if we could try and find the way where we could get wrestlers to do guest spots on like How I Met Your Mother or something, that'd get eyes looking at these guys going, okay, maybe I should check the wrestling out once again.
Now, they used to do that once upon a time. I mean, I remember Triple H on Drew Carey, and no one gave a crap.
That's because it was Drew Carey.
But you don't like the Big Show on Burner List or something like that? No.
See, I didn't even know the Big Show was on Burner Notice, and I'm a fan of Burn Notice.
Well, I don't know if he was. He might have been. He was on one of the USA shows.
He was on one of them. I thought it was Psych.
That might have been Psych.
And Edge is about to appear on something for Sci-Fi. Haven?
Yeah. He was on a week or so ago, I think. And he has a recurring role.
Yeah, he signed for 4 episodes.
Yeah, but unless it's like a direct, like, USA Network show. Like, even the USA Network show, you didn't hear about it. Even the little graphic on the bottom saying, you know, Edge is going to be on this show. Or the Big Show is going to be on this show. They have the pop-ups going through Raw all the time. WWE will be here. We've got this DVD coming out. We've got this movie coming out. We've got this going and that going. Why not add in the TV plug?
No, I would disagree with you. They did have the TV plugs for them.
Yeah, I saw the TV plugs, mate.
Well, then my TV must not like showing them.
It is Australian.
But I get your point. Not how I mentioned, Mother. You go stay on NBC, get them on 30 Rock or The Office or whatever.
Cross branding and cross promotion is not a bad thing these days.
What network airs Big Bang Theory?
CBS.
Okay. And of course NBC owns the USA Network, is that not correct?
That would be correct.
Okay, being a Canadian, I'm just pretty much guessing
that's,
at these things.
Yeah. NBC Universal owns USA Network.
Okay. Why can't you, even though you're on USA Network, you're a product of USA Network, can't you make some kind of a deal with some other cable network to have your guys appear on a popular show on a different, you know, on a network other than NBC?
I wouldn't put them on cable.
Let me guess. Why didn't Hulk Hogan ever appear on WWF TV during the Attitude Era? Probably because that would promote the competition.
Yeah. I wouldn't put them on cable. I'd put them on, you gotta get them on broadcast television. That's the one thing they're missing right now, is the broadcast television exposure. With SmackDown no longer on broadcast TV, the only time they're on broadcast television here in the States is with the special they did a couple nights ago. They need that exposure. That's how you get the mainstream audience. That's the backup Mesa's point. You get them on those type of shows.
So, yeah. Okay. Now, Mace was saying up until what we saw tonight, they were doing an excellent job getting mainstream media attention. When was the last time we saw mainstream media attention? Don't think Benoit. That was very successful and a good thing.
Let's see. Last time we saw successful mainstream attention.
Okay, that would be 98-99, where you would see Stone Cold pop up on, like, VIP or something, whatever the shows were at the time. I think Mick Foley popped up on an episode of Boy Meets World.
A few times. Vader was on Boy Meets World as well, and we have a caller on the show, Tim.
Hello?
Hello, hey, who's this?
This is Gerald, I'm from Baltimore.
Hey, Gerald, what's up?
Not much. I want to comment on SummerSlam.
Oh, absolutely, man. Go ahead.
Personally, I think them bringing back Kevin Nash is a good look, because he's been talking about doing something with Chicken Punk, but now he finally gets the chance to do it. And they stole from TNA everything. Why not use them, you know? And, but like, the one thing I don't like about WWE is they're doing too many screw jobs. Like, Rey Mysterio got the title. They took it away from the same night. Christian just got the title. Now he lost it. But what's up with that, really? You know? Now I'm doing the same thing to Punk.
No, I wouldn't really call most of those screw jobs, even though they are, you know, a little bit shady.
Right.
I mean, it's not to a TNA level where every pay-per-view there seems to be someone running in or some, you know, just, you know, a botch spot or, you know, a mortal interrupting a match or anything like that.
Right.
WWE rarely does the screw job ending anymore, especially to the extent that they did tonight with the WWE title match.
Right, because, like, no one expected it. Like, Kevin Nash coming back, you know. And we saw Edge come back. And we saw Edge make an appearance as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Edge thing is a one-time deal. He was in SummerSlam, at SummerSlam Access. That's why they had him appear on the show, even though he claimed he wasn't going to be there for the show.
Oh, okay.
He was doing autograph signings for the Access, and he was supposed to meet Christian and Dolph Ziggler for, I believe, Chinese food after the show.
I got one more question.
Go for it.
Do you think they're going to give Mark Henry, like, that final push that he needs to get the world title?
What do you think, Omega?
Looks like they're pushing him to something really big. They've booked him incredibly strong over the last few months with putting out Big Show, putting out Kane. Now he's got a win over Sheamus, even if it is by count out. He's probably going to end up as a threat to Orton. He'll end up in a world title match. I don't know if he'll actually win the belt, though.
Like, you don't think they're setting him up for, like, a WrestleMania match versus The Undertaker?
We've seen that.
I wouldn't say that.
We've seen Undertaker and Mark Henry at WrestleMania. And at this point in Undertaker's career, do you really want to see him fight Mark Henry?
That is true.
You would rather see him go out with a bigger name, bigger, better quality match, because The Undertaker is very limited at what he can do. I'll ask you, do you want to see Mark Henry with the world title?
Right. You know, see somebody new.
No, do you want to see it? You really want to see Mark Henry with the world title at this point?
If he does a good job, you know. I'm with whatever, as long as he's good.
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your call. Well, please call again and call again soon. We value your opinion here on Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Okay.
Thank you.
Peace.
Look, and See how peaceful those go when Spug's not here?
I know.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Like, no shot against Spug, but oh my god.
We were peaceful.
It's a shot against Spug.
We were peaceful and friendly.
You were respectful.
There you go.
Let him get his opinion out.
And they the caller was not mistreated and undervalued, and we didn't care.
It wasn't the butt of an old joke.
Yeah, there you go. So now back to the roundtable part two of the question: is there a point where a wrestling fan becomes too hardcore for the product? Do you get into it just a little bit too much and think you can do a better job with than the booking committee that WWE or TNA has, and you're like all shooting all over it and bitching and whining and moaning and complaining? You never see that happen now, do you?
There's two extremes there. There is the fan that gets to that gets into it for basically to watch people get their asses kicked. Mm-hmm. They basically watch for the violence. Those are the ones that will eventually end up watching CZW because they want to keep that getting that push more and more and more and more. Which at that point I would call you too hardcore because you're no longer enjoying the product. You're enjoying the carnage.
Well, don't you think that we see that on a regular basis on Facebook and on some of these dirt sites with opinion columns and different forum posts with some people?
I think you got, like Omega said, you know, a lot of extremes. You got the people who like the violence. You get the people who will sit there and go, I'm going to armchair book everything. Let me get the magic book of pen out and believe that I can do better. Or you get the guys who actually get into the business or have a taste of the business and they lose the magic.
Yeah. Do you know what happens when? Okay, that was the other extreme I was talking about. Do you remember? Do you realize what happens when someone becomes the armchair booker, sitting at home thinking, you know, I could do better than this. You know what happens when they go too far? We get Wrestlelicious.
Oy, don't ever bring that up again.
I was going to say we get Internet radio shows.
Because
in one way we are an extreme, like of the two hardcore experience. Mm-hmm. We sit here, we analyze matches, we have a look at storylines, we go over news. We are that hardcore fan.
Well, you know, when I first started doing all of this stuff, I was, you know, you brought up, you know, don't lose the magic, right? I was in with all the magic and I enjoyed it and it was great and I was able to sit down and watch it. Not worry about spoilers or anything else like that, and just get into it, and okay, I like this one, I didn't like that so much. Man, you know, it's just like any other TV show I watched. You know, there were some episodes that were good, and some that were, you know, they fell a little flat. But for a while, it was so bad that I was just not even thinking about calling myself a wrestling fan. Lately, the last couple of years, you know, I just sat back, relaxed, watched it, and it's not a case of, oh, I can stomach it or I can't stomach it. Let's just see what they're doing, and let's not harp on the one thing. Let's see the whole story arc, relax to see what's going on, and I got no problem telling people, yeah, I'm a wrestling fan, because it's not ridiculous like it was for a few years and not too long ago.
That was going to be my question back to you, Tim.
Okay, before you jump into your question there, Rock, I want to clarify when I use the term losing the magic, that's more along the guys like myself and Spug and to a lesser extent Tim. We've seen behind the curtain. We know what goes on backstage. We know the training involved. We know how, like, it's like opening up a clock and looking at the insides. You know, we know how things work, so we don't. We've lost the mystery. We've lost the magic of just being able to sit there, let our minds go blank, and enjoy what's in front of us.
Is it cool to be a wrestling fan?
Oh God. That's a very encompassing question. It's not the easiest one to answer, to tell you the truth. In some instances, yeah, it is. But in others, no, it's not.
But I'm talking about right at this point in time, right now. Is it cool to be a wrestling fan?
you know, right at this point in time, it's cool to be a fan of what they're doing with CM Punk up until tonight.
This is still not a yes or no.
Has it ever been cool to be a wrestling fan? Sure, people are going to say, well, I thought it was cool in the Attitude Era. It was really awesome. I used to go all the time. Yeah, okay, you thought it was cool. What about your friend who never watches the product? Didn't they think you were a fucking dork? Right? Okay, that's the age-old eternal question with the age-old eternal non-answer. A better question would be, do I find wrestling to be cool again? And as far as that goes, some of it is. Some of it's very cool. Some of it isn't. But it's always been like that.
You understand what I'm talking about? I'd say not so much, though, Tim. Because, you know, back when it was really socially acceptable to be a wrestling fan was during the Attitude Era when everybody was watching wrestling. Nowadays, because of the way wrestling has declined, it's gotten to the point where it's like, oh, you're a wrestling fan, you must be a bit of an idiot then, you still believe that stuff's real, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the stigmatisms attached to sports entertainment.
Oh, shit, that was happening in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, yeah, for crying.
It's an age-old stigmatism that's been attached to it all for many, many years.
Let's not confuse stigmatisms, eye problems, with stigmas.
Yeah, shut
up. Thank you.
Very good, Mr. Medical Knowledge. What are you going to teach us next week, Dr. Omega?
I'm going to teach you how to do a high-pitched mocking voice properly.
But now I've completely lost my point. Fuck!
Good job, Omega.
Fucking Spug.
Keeping everyone on their toes, okay?
Yes, Spug, whatever.
He's not here, someone has to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got to be an asshole because Spug's not here right now.
We're assholes? Since when?
Exactly.
Now you've absolutely failed that one, Tim. I believe we go to our final segment of the night, Quick Hits.
It's called Quick Hits. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We are going to start with the Mace thing tonight. Mace, which is better, Sin Cara 1 or Sin Cara 2?
I hate to say it, but Sin Cara 1. He botched less. This new guy they've got in, I swear to God, we could make an entire Botchamania series based on one match. That being said, Botchamania Sin Cara special coming soon to YouTube.
Tim, your favorite musical act to ever perform at a wrestling show is?
Oh, God.
I have to give you the thinking questions.
Yeah, none of the above. I'm sorry. I'm just not you know, I'll go to concerts. I like, you know, the concerts. I'll go to wrestling. I go to watch the wrestling. I don't go to a wrestling show to watch a concert.
So you don't go to a SummerSlam to watch this sort of thing?
No, I don't. And, yeah, I saw the tweet. That was funny. But, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't want a concert at my wrestling shows. And I don't want wrestling at the concerts I go to.
So you wouldn't be a fan of going to the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Right.
Because they have music and wrestling, and they go on air. They have matches going on the air at 4 a.m. True story.
Yeah, but like I said.
Yeah. Anyway, Omega.
They're juggalos, like they have a life to get to.
Mace is a recovering juggalo.
Former.
Former, yeah. Anyway, Omega, what current wrestler do you think would do well on Dancing with the Stars? Brother.
Hmm. You know what? I'd say John Morrison. The guy
can do flips and shit.
It's not just flips and shit. It's the fact that the guy has such control over his body. I mean, that's what the parkour thing is all about. If the guy can flip and jump around with that much precision, surely he can get his foot to cha-cha the right way.
Well, there you go.
You wouldn't pick R-Truth?
I've seen him dance. Fuck no.
I did not say former wrestler. I said current. Anyway, back to Mace. Out of all the names released for WWE 12, what legend are you most surprised to see in the game, and what wrestler are you most surprised that actually made the cut?
Alright, well, while I currently go and get a good look at what the roster is...
Only one answer, by the way.
One answer? Well, to be honest... I've forgotten the question already.
Legend and current wrestler you're most surprised that came into the game.
Okay. For Legend, I was actually surprised Arn Anderson popped up, as well as Demolition. Both Smash and Axe of Demolition. They're guys that you would never peg to be placed into a video game.
Well, when you've got so few tag teams to work with in current WWE.
Yeah, but they've also, like, they've put in two Legend tag teams this year in Demolition and the Road Warriors.
Which is two more tag teams that are in the WWE right now.
True. As for somebody who made the cut, Husky Harris. You don't see much of him yet. Here he is. He's in the video game.
So he's this year's Vance Archer?
Pretty much. And as for, like, why the fuck, Michelle McCool gets the Why the Fuck award because, well, she's not in the business anymore.
That's like tradition of those games by now. You know, it's traditional to put somebody in there that's been, you know, gone for 3 or 4 months.
But it's also tradition to, like, keep outdated theme music in Titantron, yet here it is when they did the roster reveal this past weekend. CM Punk is fully updated.
Now that's impressive.
By the way, I'm going to have to say this only because I know it's going to annoy the shit out of Omega, as we've had talk of DLC in the past and how much I hate the fucking thing. Guess who's DLC this year, Omega?
Oh no, who?
Trish Stratus.
God damn it.
So you're going to have to pay if you want to see Trish Stratus.
I would do that anyway. Hell, I already paid for the binoculars to watch her.
And how much did the restraining order cost you?
About $1,500.
Awesome.
Per violation. And unfortunately I've violated her many times.
And this is the point where you have to go to tjomega.blogspot.com so he can help pay for all of his fines.
Yeah, go watch my videos on tjomega.blogspot.com. Pay for my legal fees.
There you go. Tim, the one quality every wrestling booker needs to have is what?
The one what?
Quality.
The one quality that every wrestling booker should have?
Yes.
Sense, motherfucker. Make sure you make it.
So, me posing this question, if you were a booker, Tim, would you have sense?
Of course.
Would you ever be a booker?
I hate you for asking me this question, and you know why I hate you for asking me this question.
Why? It's a harmless question.
Well,
he's asking, if given the chance,
the
would you, Tim Stein, create and book your own wrestling federation? That's all he's asking you.
Yeah, on the surface, but I know him better than that, and that's why he's trying not to chuckle. Yeah, if I had the opportunity to, I would book my very own wrestling promotion, and I know it would be very good. Thank you very much.
It would get people talking.
It would, and I would call it, like, I don't know, maybe Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
.com. Anyway.
No, CanadianAllPro.com.
There you go. Got it in there. How about that?
You made me do it, you bastard.
I know.
He made you shill? Oh, my God, that must be such a stretch for you, Tim.
I mean, seriously, Mosh was shilling on this show. You have to shill.
Yeah, I know. My God, welcome to Plug Festapalooza. Oh, shit, moron called. I mean, Mosh called back.
Anyway, Mick Foley has Mr. Sacco. Santino has the Cobra sock puppet. Omega, what would the Omega sock puppet look like?
Let's see, the Omega sock puppet.
That just sounds like something is going to end the world. I have the tyrannical device, the Omega sock puppet.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, no. Not going to be ending the world with, you know, athlete's foot. It doesn't work. You know, strangely enough, nobody has asked me what my sock puppet would be.
Well, now you've had the question asked to you.
I guess being on this show, the Omega sock puppet would have to be Lita. I'll let you connect the dots from there.
I'm doing my best not to.
I'm sorry, if I connect those dots, I'm going to need therapy.
Just seems quite natural is all.
Very good. Tim, wrap the show up.
That's just wrong.
You're the one who picked the question.
Well,
my goal is to make you regret it.
Oh, well.
And I think you did a very adequate job tonight, Omega. Everybody, that's at Russ Talk Radio 4, SummerSlam Sunday night. Thanks for joining us this August 14th. Don't forget Tuesday night, OWW Radio, with your host, Ellen I think his name's Wojcik.
Yeah, it's Wojcik, and it's special start time of 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're starting early, folks, so put it down on Facebook. We're starting at 8:30. Why?
Any particular reason we're starting at 8:30?
There is. We have three big guests.
And they would be?
Jerry Lynn.
Ooh.
Maria Kanellis.
Nice.
And the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Ooh. Newly fired.
Live.
And exclusive?
Sure, why not? Live.
Nobody else is allowed to get them now?
No one's allowed to get them. They're ours. Live Tuesday night, 8:30.
Did you hear that? Marie is ours.
For a second time.
She liked it so much the first time she came back.
8:30 Tuesday night. Wednesday?
The Otaku Talk Live. With, you know, me, Maze, and the guy who ran off on us.
But we have fun.
We have fun.
I think this time, yes, I believe we might have to dive into the philosophical implications of Thundercats Episode 4. And
I'm pretty sure
this time we will find out what actually is Score Directive 68250 and why it requires one live rabbi and a chicken.
Or one live chicken and a rabbi. The rabbi can be dead for all we care.
But that's not kosher. Just saying.
Depends on how you prepare the chicken.
With Tim on that?
That's OTL Tuesday, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Go to cbradio.ewazone.com.
Buy the t-shirts that I made.
Buy them now in shot glass form or drinking glass form. You get the CB Radio, WTR, the Meh, and OTL shot glass and drinking glass. Now available at cbradio.ewazone.com.
Woohoo. So for that case, because Tim Stein's net's all screwed up.
Hold on. I got a show.
Oh yeah, forgot.
I have a show.
What's it called again?
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, where we talk about everything random and weird and all that fun stuff.
Awesome. So now, because Tim Stein's internet is fucked up, I'm Mace, that's Omega, our producer is Sir Rockin', the guy who disappeared with Spug. Thank you everybody who called in tonight. Hope you enjoyed SummerSlam. We enjoyed talking about it. Good night, everybody!
See you in the forest.